Welcome back. 3:48, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times. And I'm pleased to welcome back to the program Valerie Richardson, Washington Times reporter. She's been working on a couple of stories. One involves doctors feel ill winds blowing as they look closely at Obamacare. That's the headline. Got my attention this morning. Hello, Val. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Andy?
I'm doing just fine. All right, so some doctors have already had enough of Obamacare. They're not prepared to deal with the new policy?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Obamacare has not been fully implemented, you know, by any stretch. It's scheduled to be implemented as of October, but apparently they've missed a lot of deadlines already, so it may be pushed back. But already a lot of doctors feel like, you know, they see the writing on the wall and they feel like this isn't going to be worth the trouble. And when I say a lot, I mean, there's been no polling on this, and even the doctors who are most disgusted with Obamacare will tell me it's not a majority by any means. It's mainly doctors who are paying attention, and that's not a majority. but the doctors who are paying attention apparently are saying, look, it's going to be like Medicaid run amok. And as we know from our experience with Medicaid, a lot of doctors don't take it. And you hear about Medicaid patients who cannot find doctors in their area and consequently aren't getting treatment because doctors, because of the reimbursements are so low, doctors feel it's not worth their time, it's not worth their money, they don't want to deal with it, and they feel like it's going to be, you know, basically Obamacare is going to be Medicaid on steroids.
Yeah. And so the biggest problem is not necessarily money, it's also the aggravation of the paperwork and fully understanding it because it's how many, you know, it was 2,700 pages long or something, so...
Right, and as doctors will tell you, you know, if you get the coding wrong, say when you're coding up your chart, you can actually be held criminally responsible in some cases. I mean, it's not all, being a doctor has probably gotten a lot more difficult over the last couple of decades. I mean, you get out of med school, you're hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt, and then the insurance companies and Medicare and Medicaid want to reimburse you at a level that's lower than say the cost of covering your own costs. And then on top of that, there's all kinds of ways in which you can end up either getting sued or being held criminally responsible for errors that you clearly did not mean to commit, such as things with coding, that kind of thing. And so you're kind of getting buffeted at all sides in the medical profession. And one thing that some of these doctors are predicting is that it may be just a much less attractive field for the best in the market to go into in the future. I mean, why go through that aggravation when you're smart enough to be an engineer? They make basically the same money without the aggravation. Obamacare is making it, I think it's one of those things where it's beginning less and less attractive, and this is just basically the straw that's breaking the camel's back.
Yeah. Now, are those that are bailing or talking about bailing, are these primarily people close to retirement?
Well, in some cases, that's an interesting question because in some cases, yes, these are mainly people, I would say, at least in their 40s and 50s, and in some cases older. But one thing they'll point out to you is they say, look, most of the time, doctors don't retire. If they're surgeons, for example, they may stop doing surgeries because they're no longer, say, strong enough to do it as they get older, but they will still consult, they will still be on staff at hospitals because their expertise is very valued in the medical profession. You don't see that many doctors doing full-time retirement. More often you see them going into consulting and managing and advising.
Yeah.
And so what they say is happening in this case is some are just saying, I'm just going to get out. It's just not worth it for me. And so you're going to lose a lot of that knowledge and expertise.
Yeah. The American Medical Association said Obamacare was a good deal for America. And I take from the story that a lot of the doctors just don't think that way. And a lot are questioning and even the AMA, if I understand correctly, is questioning this, what do they call them, death panel, I guess, nickname. It's really called, what, the Independent Payment Advisory Board.
Something. Exactly. Yeah. The AMA is kind of in an interesting position because they did come out and endorse Obamacare when it was being considered in 2009. And if they had not, it's likely that I would say it's pretty likely that somebody would have peeled off. And as you know, it passed with exactly the number of votes it needed in the House. And if you had one person peel off because they were concerned about the AMA not endorsing it, it doesn't pass. But one thing that some of these doctors who were disgusted with Obamacare will point out is that the AMA only represents, I think it's fewer than 20% of all doctors. It's a pretty small number, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
They really are mostly in the medical coding business at this point. And so they did endorse it. It was huge. It was a huge factor in getting Obamacare passed. And now they're saying, well, you know, we really don't like some aspects of it, including the so-called death panel. And, you know, we'll see, this may be a little too late for them to be, starting to bring up their objections. But we'll see what happens. I mean, at this point, the Obama administration has pretty much gotten what they want from the AMA, and I don't know if they're going to listen to them at this late date.
Yeah. You know, one of the biggest costs to physicians, if I understand correctly, is malpractice insurance. And this Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, really doesn't tackle that, does it?
No, the whole business of tort reform and malpractice is not really addressed. And if anything, it probably makes physicians more likely to be sued because there are so many new rules and regulations, so many new things you could trip up over if you don't really understand what's going on. I mean, as we know, even Nancy Pelosi said, you know, we won't know what's in the bill until we pass it.
Yeah.
It's so lengthy. It really, I mean, in some corners they're calling it, you know, the defense lawyer's dream, because there's all kinds of ways in which you could run afoul of it, and you could definitely see the lawsuits ramping up as a result.
Mm-hmm. I also understand that there's a group of doctors, in fact, and doctors throughout the country that are looking into fee-for-service practices where they won't accept any insurance, won't have any paperwork. It's just kind of, you come in, you get a service, and you pay me cash, and you go home.
Yeah, that seems to be where some of these doctors are deciding to go. They're basically starting up their own practice where they don't accept insurance. And you already see some medical professions and specialties that are pretty much cash only, plastic surgery, chiropractic. A lot of those places will only accept cash, and they seem to do pretty well. And what they argue is that, look, if we just charge cash and don't have to worry about doing the paperwork for insurance and everything else, we can actually charge less money. And they're, in fact, doing it in Oklahoma City at the Oklahoma City Surgical Center. That place has been up and running for a couple of decades now, and about 15 years, and they actually charge dramatically lower prices than you would have to pay for a physician under an insurance plan to do a lot of surgeries. And he says it's basically, the guy who runs it, Dr. Keith Smith, says it's basically because they don't have to deal with the paperwork, they can actually charge what it costs. And I think that a lot of physicians are going to be interested in pursuing that. And I think a lot of people who need medical care will probably be interested in going to these physicians. Now, the question is going to be, is there going to be some rule coming down the road that says, you know, you basically can't do that. You have to take, you know, insurance, or you have to participate in the federal plan in some way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. I want to turn your attention to another story I know you've been following, and I saw your story in today's paper, Shooter Leaves Bodies Manifesto in His Wake. And, of course, we're talking about Christopher Jordan Dorner, the 33-year-old who was a former LAPD cop. He's on the run in California. Anything new to report there?
Well, it sounds like he has been all over Southern California. If you're at all familiar with Southern California, he must have about a 300-mile radius that he's traveling in. And I know that they found his car last night in the Big Bear area. He had burned it down. They've been searching Big Bear. They had a lockdown on the school. And then I was hearing this morning that they might have seen a sighting in San Diego. So he continues to be all over the place. I'm not sure at this point how he's getting around, but I would think at this point there is so much police attention on this. There are so many officers just from throughout that Inland Empire area that they're bound to track him down. Now they are still searching Big Bear, and it snowed in Big Bear last night, and so that's
snowing now.
So it's pretty tough, and obviously this guy knows what he's doing. I mean, he's ex-military, he's ex-LAPD. Apparently, they say he is an absolute marksman when it comes to his sniper abilities, and he's got firepower. So, but you've got to think with the number of people looking for him, it's only a matter of time before And I've got to think that's going to happen in a couple of days.
And he evidently likes CNN too.
Yeah, he sent something to Anderson Cooper, a medal with some bullet holes or bullet marks in it, I guess. He seems to have watched a lot of NBC News and a lot of CNN, because his 11-page manifesto was just chock full of references to tons of television journalists, especially, like I said, on NBC and CNN. So Piers Morgan, I know that was another one. It was kind of interesting. One thing that you're hearing right now is that, he was blasting the NRA, and he was praising Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, and there's a certain feeling out there that, if he were doing this on the other side, you'd probably, see people drawing a connection between his crimes and, you know, the conservative media, but in fact that is not the case.
Well, you know, and you and I talked about that in the case of the shooter in Aurora, Colorado. You know, there was an immediate tie by Brian Ross, you may recall, of ABC, saying that, well, there's a person with the same name who's a member of the Tea Party or something.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah. And he must be a Tea Party member. Well, this guy seems to be on the other side. He seems to really like Democrats, and he seems to be, you know, a big fan of the more, you know, let's say mainstream media.
Yeah.
And he also had a couple of nice words in there for I guess what we should call more moderate Republicans like George H.W. Bush.
Mm-hmm.
But there really hasn't been any linkage of his crimes and his apparent fondness for more Democratic politics anywhere, so we'll see what happens with that.
Yep.
Unless, of course, you be Breitbart. I think Breitbart is definitely making that connection. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, thanks for the update on the story. Hopefully they'll get this guy before he does any more harm, and you take care of yourself, and we'll talk again. Thanks, Valerie.
Thanks, Andy.
See ya. Valerie Richardson, Washington Times reporter. She is based in Denver, Colorado. 358, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT.